Tended, lose two rounds, threw the pursuit into total chaos. Ryan looked up from the scope, seeing that the front horse had toppled off the path, crashing through the brush toward the narrow, fast-flowing river. The rider that Ryan had shot second had gone down, bringing his mount with him, blocking the trail to the rear.
Never, never kill, just for the sake of the rush in your blood.
The traitor had hammered that into any new recruits who joined the war wags. The bullet hit him through the throat, smashing his spine and lifting him out of the saddle. Then, without another glance, Ryan slung the Steyr across his shoulder, climbed onto the skew vault, and rejoined the others a quarter mile farther south. Ellie had been keeping a careful watch on the prisoners. Ryan had said that she no longer needed to knock them out the moment they recovered consciousness again.
Just let them know that you'll hit them if they try and talk or make any kind of sound. That's all you need to do.
As they rode on through the night, they saw no more signs of pursuers. JB came back from Point to walk his bay mare alongside Ryan's mount.
Looks like we got away scot-free.
Don't count your chickens until they're in the pot.
Ryan watched as Doc heeled his towering stallion to the back of the rig. Ellie appeared, leaning on the tailboard, talking to Doc. Both of them were laughing.
Keep an eye on those killers, Ellie.
But it was Baron Wizard Seidler who made the move, wriggling unnoticed, working the baling wire over his sweating and bloodied wrists. If he'd been patient and freed some of the others, things might have worked out differently. But Baron Seidler couldn't wait. The elderly dowager stood trembling by her chair, holding out her blood-stained hands to the gigantic figure of the Baron, who was frozen in the doorway, staring at the bizarre tableau.
Sorry, my son.
What the fuck is this? Come on, Mother! What the fuck is all this? What's happened?
The Baron turned sharply, his hand falling to the pearl butt of the Smith & Wesson Magnum.
They've tried.
Christy was holding the little .22 caliber pistol, with three of its rounds spent. She was standing close to the fire. Mildred was closer to the door, one arm on Dean's shoulder. The boy held his slim-bladed dagger in front of him. There were a few drops of blood on the steel, tinted golden by the flames of the blazing logs.
Mother!
Her fingers dripped crimson, spattering around her feet onto the fur rug. Blood was running over her hand, down her arm.
I told them, Alfred.
Told them what?
That you plan to cross John, Ryan, and the others, murder them, even if they brought you back the prisoners you wanted from Yuma. It's true, isn't it?
Alfred's head turned toward Mildred, his white beard stained with a thread of spittle. His eyes were wide open, staring.
My mother told you all of this? I don't believe you.
It's true, son. I was going to make them do like you wanted.
I heard shots.
The old bitch tried to chill Christy and Mildred, so I stabbed her.
You stabbed my mother? Never! But the blood...
The Dowager lifted her left hand, showing the clotted darkness that was seeping from a slit in her dress near the armpit.
Such a small knife, Alfred, with a pretty green hilt. Like those necklaces I used to collect from olden times.
It's true!
The bitch had it coming! I hope her ghost never finds itself any rest!
Dean spat on the palm of his hand and made the sign of the cross toward the dying woman. Nelson actually staggered as though someone had struck him in the face.
You told them the truth, Mother! The bloody bastard truth! Life comes way down near the bottom of the totem pole.
That's true, Chief.
Mildred was unable to look away from the hearth, where the jerking corpse of the Dowager had finally toppled face down into the fire. Her long hair blazed like a magnesium flare, making the air in the room stink.
Can't we pull her away?
The Baron shook his head, smiling with a sightless, simpering idiocy.
No! The wicked burn in hell! Mother told me that always. Wizard Seidler and his killers will burn when... Burn slowly. Listen. Listen to skin crack and eyeballs pop.
The intensity of the man's madness held them all in silence. The stench of roasting flesh was nauseating. Though she was obviously dead, the horror was magnified by the old woman's feet and legs still moving, as if she were considering lifting her face from the ferocious heat.
Now what, Baron?
Such beautiful hair, my dear lady. If we have a son, will his hair glow like living flames? It is so vivid and brilliant, it almost seems to be alive.
Christy could feel her sentient hair moving, packing itself protectively around the back of her neck, every strand sensitive to the danger in the room.
You have 3 little pellets of lead in that tiny blaster, Christy. It won't kill me, but it might make me very cross. Might make me want to take off your clothes, remove your tight silken panties that fit so snugly, and then...
Shut your filthy mouth!
Dean had taken 3 angry steps across the room, threatening the Baron with his knife.
A toy pistol and a babe's bodkin! I tremble with terror, boy!
My knife was enough to chill your bitch mother, and it can do the same for you, you shit-mouthed, triple-sick bastard!
The barrel of the Magnum spun around toward the boy.
Now that was not the way a child should speak to his father.
I'd never speak to my father like that.
For a moment, the big man looked puzzled.
Not your father is... What?
The hand holding the gun began to shake. Christy licked her lips, steadying the .22 on the Baron's face. Nelson wrinkled his nose.
Stink of charred flesh. Typical of the old shitbag. Hated her! Now she's told you everything. Suppose I'd best chill you all now.
Except the boy.
It was 1 hour and 17 minutes into the 10th and final day. They'd been making good time along a trail that was scarcely dusted with snow. The mud and slush had frozen, turning into ruts that jarred and jolted the wag. Michael had heeled his burrow out to the point position. Capistrano and Knuckles were on the rig's narrow seat. Ellie and Doc were chatting over the tailboard, and Ryan and JB were walking their horses about 30 paces behind. Too far behind to be able to do anything to prevent the tragedy unfolding in front of their eyes. It was only afterward that it was possible to trace the steps. Seidler wriggling free of the bailing wire around his wrists, ignoring an urgent whispered entreaty from Jim Jennison to play it cool and careful and free them all. Seidler saw the backs of Capistrano and Knuckles, the latter with the taped hilt of a short-bladed skinning knife showing at his belt. Ellie was involved in a coquettish conversation with Doc, assuming that everything was still safely under her control. Wizard Seidler snatched out the knife, hesitating for a fraction of a second. His lips were pulled back in a feral snarl as he stared at the 2 men on the driving seat. But there was only one person guarding the rear of the rig, and that was the treacherous actress. The Baron lunged toward Ellie, slipping as he trod on Julio, nearly falling over 20 gooseneck's outstretched legs. Ryan heard the beginning of Knuckles' belated shout of warning as he felt his knife being stripped from its sheath. Ellie started around, the smile still pinned to her face. Doc stood in the stirrups, then his hand fell toward the polished butt of the Lama, the old man moving faster than Ryan had ever seen him move before. Then there was the shadow from beneath the canvas hood, its teeth glittering in the moonlight, the steel blinking coldly.
He's got my knife!
Doc's blaster cleared leather as both Ryan and JB went for their weapons. They weren't fast enough. Wizard Seidler opened Ellie's throat from ear to ear, slashing backhanded, the blade severing flesh and arteries, and cutting open the woman's windpipe. Ellie's hands reached out to Doc, her blonde hair streaming around her as she struggled for air. Air that came swamped in thick gobbets of blood. Seidler grinned triumphantly, pushing the dying woman over the tailgate of the wag, where she fell into the furrowed, icy mud. Ellie fought her way to her hands and knees, but the blood was pumping out of her, and what remained of her life was measured in slackening heartbeats. Ryan had the 6-hour out, ready to put a 9mm full metal jacket through Seidler's right shoulder, taking him safely out of action without jeopardizing the mission. But he hadn't reckoned on Doc's unprecedented combat speed. Knuckles was hauling desperately on the reins, the horses rearing in protest. Monsignor Diego Capistrano was stricken with shock. Michael was slowest to react, half turning in the saddle of the swaybacked mule. Jennison's voice rose from the bed of the wag.
Stick 'em all, wizard!
JB's Uzi was in his hand, but Doc was directly in his line of fire. Ryan saw the Lama leveling toward the yelping face of the exultant Baron, the 63 caliber scattergun round beneath the hammer. The range was less than 10 feet.
No, Doc! Don't kill him or...